Well, let's pray, then we'll get into the Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for you coming and being a part of our life. Mm-hmm. Father, this is my family, not just my immediate family, but the whole church. As Jesus said, when his family came to get him, he said, "Who is my family?" And he looked around and he said, "This is my family." And he was talking about that which was outside his natural. And so, Father, tonight, today, I pray that whatever we say and do and share, that, Father, these people are blessed by in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you better have. Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We've been covering the subject of the Holy Spirit and how important He is in our life, especially for you, because each and every one of us have the Holy Spirit given to us if we've received Jesus. Not everybody has the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but when you get born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Because he's the only one that can birth you into the kingdom of God, just as he did in the womb of Mary. But the thing that God wants more than anything else is he wants you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive that heavenly language. There's a reason for it. Now, there's over the course of time, mostly in the last, maybe I'd say 80 years. John, would you say about in the last 80 years or maybe 100 that the doctrine came forth that tongues were not for today? And matter of fact, someone came up with the statement that when you receive speaking in other tongues, you receive a demon. And yeah, that's new to us, but a lot of people have been taught that. I boldly declare today that that is a doctrine of a demon. Yes. If you take heed to that kind of thinking, you're putting yourself or you're permitting yourself to be under a deceiving spirit. Right. That, again, is a nautical term which literally means to take you off course with God. Yeah. One thing about speaking in other tongues for our dispensation, which is called the dispensation of grace. And that literally means it is a language unique for us in this time period, because God wants to reach as many as he can to this time period to bring them into the kingdom of God. God wants heaven filled with people. Why? He loves you guys and he loves humanity. And I was dwelling on it in the last few weeks, because we do a letter now, monthly letter. And if you want that letter every month, just let the office know. We'll be glad to put you on the mailing list if you're not already on it. But the mailing list that we have for this Christmas is a message that God began to put upon my heart. And it was probably one of the most difficult messages that I could put together to describe the wonderful babe that laid in that manger. And I was speaking to the Lord about this Christmas, and he brought me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And you know, the book of Ecclesiastes was written by none other than Solomon. And Solomon approached everything in the book of Ecclesiastes from the natural viewpoint of man's life. And towards the end of it, he kind of indicates very clearly that evidently he got back into fellowship with God. Because he said, I've learned that when God speaks, he puts people together. He doesn't dissemble them. He puts them together. He fastens them together through words sought out from God. And so that priesthood, he recognized, sought out the mind of God to put something in their life that would make it together, that would put you together. Because you know what? We do a wonderful job at taking our lives apart. He wants us to put them back together again. That's his heart. You know? And thank God for that babe in the manger. So why did I say all that? Well, if you want to encourage to bring somebody that needs salvation, Christmas Day, we're going to have service Christmas Day. Yes, we are. And what better way to spend Christmas Day than at church? Amen. And we're not going to have Sunday school. And then I think we're going to start a little later. Is that, no, just the regular same time? And I don't want to say how, but God began to put a message in my heart. Not only for the mailing list that Tammy and I and Sam and John, all of us, were helping me put it together, because sometimes it's hard to find words. But I sought out these words according to Ecclesiastes in such a unique way that even the most simple could understand the true meaning of Christmas. And so I have a special message Christmas Day, because next Sunday we're going to have a Christmas program, right? And Christmas Day, I have a Christmas message that I think will bless you. It'll give you the true understanding of why Jesus had to come and manifest himself in the flesh. You know, if you really think about why he did come and manifest himself in the flesh, there were some powerful statements that said about his appearing. And number one, it said that when he appears, he's going to bring peace to all men. Do all men walk in peace? I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that the Bible just blatantly says that has deep meaning, and they have to be explained out for us to understand them. Another thing is, and the one that I laughed at the most when I was not saved or in fellowship with God, the one I laughed at the most is that he would take away the sin of the world. Matter of fact, I had converts preach to me to get saved, and my philosophy was, from what? You know? And they'd tell me, from hell. And I said, I'm living in it. You know? So, well, how's that going to save me from living in hell? And he says, no, not that hell. I couldn't grasp it. And so when we think of Christmas, we don't really understand the true meaning to Christmas. And the world does not have a revelation of why Jesus came in the flesh. They don't see him as the sacrificial lamb that came to do something. And they don't understand the substitutionary work of our Heavenly Father until they understand the true meaning of that birthing in that little manger in Bethlehem. I've been there. John and I have been there. We actually went to the very site where he was supposedly have laid as a little baby. And it was touching. It really was. Knowing why he did come. And so I encourage you to have people here that it would be a real blessing to them. I've sought out the words to make it very simple. And if they're not saved, this would be the message they need to hear. Well, we've been covering the subject of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to boldly say before we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to boldly say that I think within the last, it's been the last 15 years, wouldn't you say, John, that my, you know, when you think of natural life and growing up, you know, when you started out, as much as you could remember back, you had a certain level of knowledge at that time. But as you grow up, that knowledge begins to change. And also, your desires begin to change. And your passions begin to change. And your direction begins to change. And your focus begins to change. That comes with growth. And it's real strange that when you come into the kingdom of God, you don't see yourself coming in as a little baby and then having to grow in the things of God. But you did grow in the things of God. Every one of you in this building has grown to an understanding of God to a certain degree. Amen? And so because you grow, you don't think of it from a natural viewpoint. But when you're growing, you don't see yourself growing as a spiritual being before God because you're living in this natural tabernacle. And I'd say the last 15 years, the reason I pointed to John, because John and I, we talk a lot about the things of God. And John and I have had to sit and readjust so many things in our thinking that we've learned or gotten more insight from the kingdom of God that we didn't have before. And so we have had to disavow or disown some knowledge that we had at that time. Not that it was wrong, but it was a growing process. But you don't think that way. You're probably sitting there in your seat, you don't think that way. We don't think of the kingdom because where we came into the kingdom of God, that age where we are, that's how we view everything. And so I thought God downloaded a lot of things on me when I first got saved and found out now it wasn't God. And I began to realize, how did I make the error in believing that, but believing so differently now? But I never, and when I sought the Lord about this, I said, what about that, God? And God said, oh, you're growing. We don't think that we grow with God. Now, I've been a believer since 1971 on Oxford Street in Tacoma, Washington. Kenneth Hagin, you know. And I don't remember the time. Couldn't remember that. Couldn't remember my address at that place like he did. Kenneth Hagin, you know, when he got saved, you know, on the street of McKinney, Texas, back in 19-something. But I was getting bits and pieces of the mind of God. It comes here a little and there a little, you know, so forth and so on. And so I began to grow, and I think the last 15 years, right up to even today, I'm seeing things so differently than what I've seen back then. Yep. And your heart goes out to people. You want them to have that same insight, that same growth. And so, as I was praying and even this morning, I want to put an emphasis on how important it is to pray in other tongues on a daily basis, giving your spirit to God daily, because that's so important of what the Bible says about that language. Why do you think God made that language distinct for our time period? Because, now listen to me very closely. Get a hold of this. This is a strong thing to remember. If you have pencil paper, you need to write it down. And never forget this. Satan, when he comes, Satan will speak. And he always speaks by using a mixture of the knowledge of good and evil. Make a note of that. He always comes to put a mixture in man when it comes to speaking about God. Now, how do we know that? Well, Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, we find very clearly, that when he questioned Eve, Eve spoke to him what she knew that God wanted, and that was not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we know that they did do that. But she did not listen to the information she had received. She allowed her senses to speak for her. That was a tree to be made to make one wise. She allowed the senses that had no knowledge in it whatsoever to speak by its sight, what it could see. And then Satan injected thoughts into her by speaking, "Hath God said?" So that's the way Satan comes to speak to us. He tries to give us an interpretation contrary to what God said. Now, last Sunday, we covered the subject of how our faith grows, how it's developed. And when I made the statement, it caught a lot of you off guard. I made the statement that your faith does not grow by what God said. Your faith grows by, are you ready for this? By how men interprets what God said. And we find that in Romans chapter 10. Matter of fact, in the Greek, it's very interesting there. It said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by a word of Christ. Very important that that word Christ be put in there. Because this is talking about New Testament epistles, New Testament dispensation. And so he was saying that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by a word of Christ. The word for word there is rhema. That's why Mark 4, that when the parable of the sower was mentioned, it was mentioned about the capacity for men to keep listening to and hearing the word of God. Keep listening to it. Keep hearing it. Repeat. That is called the washing of the water of the word. You have to repeat what God said by hearing how men interpret it. That's how faith grows. Well, if that's the case, what if you hear incorrectly the wrong interpretation of what God said? Then your faith will grow negative. So that can be a positive thing, and it can be a negative thing. Well, then how in the world are we going to be protected from the deception of other doctrines that are misleading and also come forth by demonic powers? How do we do that? Thank God for the Holy Spirit, which is unique to our generation because they were with or upon men in the Old Testament, but now the Holy Spirit came in a way that it would move into the hearts of men, into your spirit being. To what? To help you hear something and make sure that you're hearing it correctly. The Holy Spirit is your inoculation against the deception that can come on another man who might have a ceiling on himself. Be not deceived, for as your masters are, so will you be. You have to make sure you're listening and hearing the right thing. Because if you're hearing the right thing, the Holy Spirit can really put you on fire for God and keep you there. How do you think I stay there? I'm on the fire for God all the time. I can boldly say it. Somebody always says, well, how far can you go with sin before you lose your salvation? I don't know. I've always just remained on fire for God and stay there. It doesn't mean that I'm always walking in the complete victory, because a lot of you fellowship with me know that ain't true. Sometimes you can get discouraged. Sometimes you can get upset. But I'm going to tell you something. The more, if you want to know whether you're spiritual or carnal, guess what? The more that you try to walk in carnality with God, the more you'll begin to realize the first thing you'll do is try to move out of spiritual responsibility. Can we go back to the Christmas message? No, we play games with our mind. We do. Hey, God can speak on one shoulder, which is your right shoulder, by the way. And the devil can speak on the other. So Satan, one thing he does not want you to do is allow the Holy Spirit to program the way you think. Satan wants you to keep your own thinking intact because he has access to that thinking. It's motivated by a nature that you inherited in the flesh when you were born into this world. Now, my understanding has completely changed from some of my mentors that I highly praised and no longer see it from that avenue. And what caused me to get that kind of boldness in me? Praying in tongues. Learning how to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. And that don't come overnight. I'm going to tell you, it was only the last 15 years I stepped into the realization of how important it was to give my spirit to God. And do you know what? Things are so changing now in my understanding of Scripture that it's getting harder for me to even speak when I am communicated to in the wrong manner. I don't know what to say. And it finally dawned on me one day, I said, Lord, how do I find a voice to answer another voice that is not really the voice of you? And he says, keep your mouth shut. I said, well, that would give me very little to say. And he said, that's very good. And you know what dawned on me? Just this morning when I was meditating on this message, you know what dawned on me? Did you know that Kenneth Hagin would not hardly speak at all? If you knew him personally, he kept his mouth shut all the time. And one day, one of the Rhema singers asked him, why are you so quiet all the time? And Kenneth Hagin goes, keeps me out of trouble. Because the more light that you get, the more darkness is expelled or identified. And now you're responsible for coming to the light. There are sometimes I wish I didn't know the things I knew, because my natural man just wanted to violate that. But I've learned how God takes the wisdom that came from heaven to this earth for our time period, how it comes. He left it in the Word. He showed me how it came. First of all, it doesn't come by your own understanding. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where Paul's coming from. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. In other words, he was limited as to his personal being, natural man. But he goes on to say, but my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words or persuasive words of human wisdom. In other words, he didn't craft his wisdom after what men were saying. He literally was the one who knew how to get the mind of God apart from his natural thinking. Now, how did I find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? I found it by the word we speak. We speak. But we speak. We speak a wisdom that doesn't come through natural understanding. He says, we speak a wisdom among those who are mature, who have been brought to maturity. The word speak there, when I understand it from the Greek language, I went into shock because the word speak there is not the word Lego. How many of you heard of Legos? How many of you cursed some of them, stepping on them in your bare feet? I've stepped on a few in my time raising kids. Well, those Legos, they're designed off of the Greek understanding of literally shaping an image that you want to shape out of these little toys. Now, they've gotten more advanced now. They've went from little round wooden things with sticks in them to now very intricate, you know, little blocks and things like that you can put together and shape images, you know. And so that word for Lego, which is the word speak in your Bible, that word, when it's called Lego, it means a man chooses his thinking in line of one word after the other in a sentence and his own language he understands. In other words, when I go to build a sentence structure, I'll do it in my language because I know what words to put one after the other. Amen? But the word he uses here is not the word Lego. It is the word... Are you ready? It is a very unique word, a very interesting word. It is the word... Laleo. Laleo. What's that mean? It means that you're speaking a language and it has order to it because of the first part of that word. Laleo. It literally means you are literally forming a language in your mouth that does not match your understanding. It means you are speaking a language that does not mix with your natural understanding. Because if it was the word Lego, it means you would be speaking a language to people that you know what's being said. And so right away, the first thing Paul did is he says, I'm laying out on an understanding to you that when you speak that language, you're speaking that language apart from your intellect, because he mentions it at the end of that chapter. Well, what kind of language is he speaking when you say Laleo? It comes from the word glossolalio, tongues. Now, how do I know that? Because I'm experiencing it, especially the last 5 years. I have really given myself to just reading the Bible and praying in tongues. Not Greeking it, not doing anything else, just waiting for an interpretation that comes from God apart from my intellect, and God will download the understanding of that passage and I get it. But I didn't get it through my Greek intellect. I didn't get it through my language intellect. I got it from the throne of God, and He was speaking to me the correct knowledge and the right message. I'm now qualifying to be able to interpret Rhema, what God, Logos, spoke. Boy, I feel tough. I'm actually taking on the book of Revelation, believe it or not. And I'm just reading that thing and praying in the Holy. And I get here a little and there a little. For line must be upon line and precept upon precept. And that book is starting to come together, which I thought was impossible. Well, when you read it from your natural mind, it don't make any sense. And it sure is not edifying. Now listen to me. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. Don't think that God speaks to you like I'm speaking to you. How God speaks to you is that once you get the information in your thinking, that's why you have to read your Bible. You have to read it. And how the understanding of what you're reading comes, it doesn't come by God says, now this is what this verse means. When you go to the verse and you read it again, it's like you know what it's saying. Yeah. Boom, it fits. Now, here's the kicker. It said, for precept must be upon precept. Line must be upon line. Here a little and there a little. Well, this is why these satellite scriptures always float around me. Until I run into enough of these satellite scriptures, then all of a sudden, if I get enough of them floating out here, they suck themselves together and I understand what I'm reading. But you know what? It's just downloaded on me. I just know it. And you know, the more I'm beginning to see this, the clearer other things begin to understand. And that's why that language is so unique for our dispensation. On the day of Pentecost, people don't realize that's when the church began. Yes. And that's why we were given these tongues. Now, you know, I used to paint a picture of little cloven tongues like there's a fire lit on each of them. Actually, when I looked in the Greek meaning to that, you know what I discovered? They didn't have little fire, flames of fire on their head. That was a quotation that the nations understood when it come to speaking in their language. You know what it was? It said they had cloven tongues as a fire and it set upon each of them. And the word cloven tongues as a fire means they each received a language of theirs that was literally ablaze with excitement. An energy was called zealousness. And they were fervently speaking these languages. So Paul, no wonder he said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than y'all. But I'd rather speak 5 words of my own understanding like I'm trying to do to you now, rather than 10,000 words in the tongue, because it wasn't given for your intellect. The interpretation of what God said comes through that language. That's why people who do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and remain in the ecumenical movement, they are shallow. They don't go deep to the meaning of the things of God because they can't. Or why would God give the language? In Isaiah 28, again, I want to remind you, He says, starting at verse 9, whom will he teach the correct message and give the right knowledge? He says, for line must be, it means contextually speaking, everything has to be understood in its text, and it has to follow true from line, from one line to the other line to the other line. That's how God paints a picture in our thinking. He paints a clear picture of the message and the understanding for that message. Now, are you ready for this? For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now, are you ready for this? That is the quote that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when he said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. But they would not hear. It's a quote out of Isaiah. Now, what got me was the first group knew the message. They received it. They knew line upon line, precept upon precept. Are you following? They understood it. Why? Because they used something that the second group didn't. They use that tongue. And that's a prophetic, profound prophetic statement out of the prophet Isaiah. He was prophesying out of that spirit of what was to come. And he goes on and says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to this people? When I pray in tongues, I am candidating myself for him to download the message that he's said. And when it comes, whoo! But the second group would not hear. They wouldn't hear. And he said, but the message to them was just like the first group. They had context, they had line upon line. But what happened to them? They digressed, fell backwards, they were snared and taken. When God gives you insight, I got some good news for you. I got some good news from you. Magali, when God speaks to you, you're going to go forward. The difference was the first group accepted the language, the second group didn't. You see that a lot today. And did you know that God is revealing more of His Word? We're getting more insight. And listen, when things get clearer, I'm telling you, the deep things of God clear up. They don't get more confusing, it clears it up. And God, when He began to speak to me how to put these words together that I prayed out of Ecclesiastes, God showed me how to word the true meaning of Christmas so that the simplest can understand. And you know what? He had to give me an understanding of how to do that. And when I caught it, I got so excited. I don't know how many times the last 2-3 weeks I worked on this message, and I just sat and weep every time I put it together. It kept going deeper in me and deeper in me of the appreciation of that baby, that sacrificial lamb in that little manger. Amen. And how it grew up to die for me. Yes. And I finally got it together. Word just perfect. Thanks to your help, John and everybody. I like to bounce things off of people in case I'm nuts. Because your natural mind can slip in there. Because that's the way Satan wants. He wants you not to receive it from the understanding of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to receive it from your own intellect, because then you get a mixture going. And that's what he does. He loves it when men rely on their own thinking to interpret God, because he can get in there and do it. What? Mixture of good and evil. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, when you pray in the Holy Ghost a lot and you start looking at them scriptures, bam, there are things that come out of them you didn't even see before. When I was in Hebrews chapter 5 and I got down to these verses and talked about men who lost their desire to hear the Word of God, I found out just in that one verse, they wasn't even to milk. And I found out in Hebrews there, that verse saying, they didn't even have milk. He said, because those that have milk are unskilled in the word of God. He was saying they weren't even skilled in anything. And he says, the men who are ready for meat have done something. Well, what did they do to make meat? They have learned how their sensual man can get in there. And begin to interpret God improperly.
Yeah.
And so then you have to go back to the very basics of what the very basics of the principles of Christ is.
Yeah.
Say this with me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. The only one qualified to reveal Jesus. Okay, so what have we learned here? Well, in closing, this is my first one. We're only five after. Please have patience with me. Are you ready? How many of you know there are many voices coming out in this world? There's a lot of voices. And they're not without meaning. If you want to, should we type these up, John? Or should you type these up for we? Would you do it? I'm going to tell you real quick like, remember in John 10 verses 1 through 5, Jesus talked about his sheep hearing his voice. Actually, he goes on and literally says, because they have heard his voice so clearly, they can't be taken out of his hand.
Right.
Now, men have interpreted that meaning they can do anything they want and still not be taken from God. But what he was referring to in the text, he was referring to, if you learn how to hear the voice of God, you cannot be taken by the adversary. You're secure in God. Isn't that good news? Man, the smarter you get, the more secure you become. I used to tell you, don't learn too much, don't get too smart, because then if you fall out, you won't get back. You committed the unpardonable. See, I'd lived in that fear for so long, I don't anymore. Hallelujah. Now, here are the voices, many of them. We have the voice of reasoning. That means a thought that would be injected. This is what we call the voice of experience. Then you have what we call the voice of Satan. What? Yes. He can inject a thought. Somebody said, well, I need to know that scripturally. Matthew 16, 22 and 23. Peter's voice experienced how God spoke to him and how Satan did too. It's the guy that could hear from God, but also hear from the devil. That's a real revelation. I don't want to get into that. Then you have what you call the voice of the Spirit. This is the subconscious mind. What man can't figure out where that mind came from. This is an inward sensing, a knowing. This is where the Holy Spirit is connected to your human spirit, and it comes forth to your conscious mind and thought. This is what that is. Then you have the voice of physical hearing.
Yep.
What's that? Well, that's where the word is spoken to bring clarity to inward thinking. This is the conscious mind. The voice of physical hearing, the conscious mind. Matter of fact, this book here is written for the conscious mind, but it has to be interpreted by the Spirit. Because my words are spirit and life. Got it? Then you have, oh, this one is going to be a real strange one to all of us. This voice is called the voice of the body. Nobody's ever had the voice of the body, right? Because we're spiritual. The voice of the body is your feelings, your emotions, your mental feeling, and sickness and pain, mental sickness. This is called the voice of manifestation of the mind of the senses that speak. When your body needs healing, it looks for natural means. There's nothing wrong with that. But when God wants to heal you divinely, that natural mind will have a say about that. That is not possible. Then the last one, which is an important one, the voice of the prophetic. This is where a revelation through the gifts for supernatural guidance comes in, a supernatural impartation while we're growing. While we're growing up. And that's where God will give you a prophecy. He'll give you some knowledge. You know, he gives it to you. Impartial. Somebody said, well, the knowledge done away with all that. That's not what that is saying in the text there. He's saying, as you're growing up, you'll get a prophetic utterance, you'll get a word, you'll get a tongue, you know, you'll get all these things. But as you grow up, those partial things that gave you partial insight no longer have a value to your life. You've gone into maturity. Yeah. Are you following me? Yeah. And so, the reason I'm saying all this is because if we don't know how to make a distinction with all these different voices that go through our mind, we're going to have a hard time defining which one. You know. Now, I'm going to close on this thought because we come back after Christmas and come back and continue on this thought process. There are perimeters which can help you as you're praying in the Spirit that can help you discern how the true wisdom of God comes. And James clarifies that really simple in James, I think it's, is it in chapter 3? Where he says, this is how the, yeah, it's in chapter 3 of James. He said, this is how the wisdom comes. And see, he was clarifying how there were people in the body that were claiming they had wisdom. Mostly it came out of the influence of money. He says, they claim they have the wisdom of God. He says, but really they don't, because this is the way wisdom comes. And he gave a list of how the wisdom of God comes to man. And that list is what helped me to discern literally how the wisdom of God comes. And so I will always go to how this wisdom of God comes to my soul. And it helps protect me from getting into the wrong understanding of God's wisdom. It says it comes, first of all, pure, then peaceable, then gentle. And it's easy to be entreated, very important to understand. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If you take this list, these 8 points, and when you're meditating and studying the Word of God, and you get a voice that doesn't fit those any one of those 8 points, it's more than likely you're going to have to rethink. It's more than likely you're going to have to wait upon God. The hardest thing for me in speaking in those tongues and reading scripture is waiting for the mind to come. That is the hardest thing for me. So I've learned, I got all the time in the world to just not wait on me to discern it. I'm just going to wait on God to bring it to me. It's that simple. And yet we are so bound to try to figure it out on our own. And that's what's gotten us into trouble. That's why it says in the latter days, more doctrines that seduce people, lead them astray, will be coming forth. The Word of God is very important, especially who you listen to in interpreting it. That's where your faith grows. It doesn't grow by what God said. If that was the case, we'd all be okay. We wouldn't have to worry about how to interpret it. We have to be concerned how it's interpreted because our faith grows in that interpretation.
Right.
Hebrews 10, people. Every word there is rhema. Stand up. Okay, now that we're all standing. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. But Father, more than anything else, I thank you for the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and bring the interpretation to it. Father, we know that humility is so great because our natural mind wants to carve its own idol. But I like it what David said in Psalms 139. Verse 14, he said, if there's any evil way in me, that word for evil or wicked way is literally the word, Hebrew word, idol. God, if there's anything that would carve my own idol of you, preserve me from it and show me the way of everlasting. That's why 1 John is so strong on the Holy Spirit, because at the very last end of that book, he wrote and remain free of idols. He was saying, remain free from those who have the wrong carving or interpretation of God. Stay away from them. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you're here today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, this is the most important time of your life to step forward like I did in that wonderful day and receive Jesus as my Savior. If you're here and you've never done that, you get to do that. And if you've been out of fellowship with the Holy Ghost and you've been out of fellowship with the Father and the Son, you can make a definite, distinct little switch on the inside of you to get back to where you was in your first love with Him. That's important to God. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, my gosh, abandon that natural mind by receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way you're going to have the right message. Hallelujah. The right understanding get on the inside of you. That is unique for our generation, our time period. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And even if you weren't called to draw out the deep things of God, you were given that language to pray it before God so you would recognize truth when it is spoken. Because we're all given to understand truths. And may no one have a conviction against truth. Because that's the first sign we're carnal. And so if you're here today and never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have the freedom to come forward and the Holy Spirit will fill you full. And if you need healing, you make a decision. I have a right to healing because it was already given me. So with every head bowed just for a moment, if you want to come forth right now, please feel free to do it so we can dismiss the rest. Anybody that wants to come forward right now, praise God. So with that, you're all dismissed. God bless you all.